גדולת שמינך תתיר צרורה. אלף בית גימל יוטף צדי. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, which is a name that deals with patterns in our life, memories of patterns, which helps us see we have continuously made the same mistake, the same pattern from one lifetime to another, from one event in this lifetime to another. This is the energy of chesed, of mercy, to be able to see that pattern and to be able to show unconditional love. Gevura. Kabel binat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora. Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra Satan, which translates as tear up Satan. Tear up the negativity. The same six letters can be permutated to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a hint to us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry points for the negative system. Tiferet, Na Gibor, Dorshe, Kuncha, Kivavat, Sham, Rem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. And sustenance is essentially the fulfillment of all desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us take back the energy from the negative system that we have given them through the opportunity to make a correction that we didn't fulfill. Sometimes we call that a mistake. That's off. Barchem tacharem tachames kadcha tamid gamlem. Betet Resh, Tzadi Tav Gimel. Chod. Chasim Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach. Het Kuf Bet, Tet Nun Ayin. This sequence connects us to the Sephirah of Chod and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. Yesod, Yachid Geyeh, Lacha Penei, Zogrei Kedushatach, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium, during this, our generation. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmat Yakatenu, Yodeh Talumot, Shinkufav Tzadi Yuntav. The letters of the month of Tammuz are Taf, that created the planet we call Levana, the planet which is the moon, the moon, which has no light of its own, but only what it receives from the sun, until it grows to the level of the sun, where it will have its own light. And the Chet, which is composed of a Vav and a Zion, and a little house on top. The Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab. The crab that hides in its shell because it's so afraid. The crab that is unable to move directly forward but must zigzag right and left in order to get where it's going. Together, the Taf and the Chet have a gematria of 408. And this connects us to the energy of the month, which is joy and happiness. There is a direct connection between the month of Sartan, or the constellation Sartan, which is called Cancer, and the disease that we have in our generation of Cancer. And that's that all cancers start this month. But God gives us the cure before the disease. And that's to make sure during this month that it's not an easy task to be happy this month. This is the energy of Tammuz, which is the completion of the energy of Iyar through the Vav and Sivan through the Zion. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of sharing, of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malkuto Leolam Vaed. I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Chukat. I'm going to read the second verse on the first section. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu. Ketiv ha-kazot hukat ha-Torah, uktiv zot ha-Torah, ma ben hei lehei, el arazai la-ahu v'haki olfana. V'zot ha-Torah, le'achaza'a kola be-Yehuda, had mulav lela. Bani Bekucha Barihu Leishtacha Kovlachad Begine Kach Vezot HaTorah Amai Tosefet Vav. It is written here, this is the ordinance of the Torah, and it is also, and this is the Torah, but it is not written the ordinance. What is the difference between this and that? He responds, it is a lofty secret, and that is what we learn. The words, and this is the Torah, are to show that all is in one unison, and to unite the congregation of Israel, which is Malchut, with the Holy One, blessed be He, that is Zeranpin, so that all will be one. Therefore, and this is the Torah, why is there the addition of and, of Vav, to this? It is only to show that as we are taught, all is one without division. The words and this indicate the general and the particular, namely male and female combined together. Since Vav is male, that is Zeranpin, which is general, and this, the word this, which is Zot in Hebrew, is female, meaning Malchut, which is particular. Therefore, it is assuredly written, and this is the Torah, to indicate Zeranpin and the Nukva in one unison. However, this without the additional Vav is specifically the ordinance of the Torah, which is Malchut, that is considered the ordinance. And it emanates from Zeranpin, which is considered the Torah, but is not the Torah itself, which is Zeranpin. It is only the law of the Torah, the decree of the Torah, which is Malchut. this verse in the Zohar is coming to explain why this phrase in Hukat is used, the ordinance of the Torah. And it's coming to explain that depending on the way the phrase is said, it can represent Malchut by itself, which is a frame of judgment, or it can represent the unity of male and female, which is Zerampin and Malchut together. And that represents mercy and unity. And in this particular case, Chukat, and it goes on to describe the way of removing death forever through the ashes of the red heifer. This is explaining we're talking about a frame of judgment. And that's what the Zohar is explaining to us about this week's Torah portion, which is always in the month of Tammuz, which is also a frame of judgment. And the letters of the month that I mentioned in the Anabakoach, that 408 is the gematria of the word Zot, Zion Aleph Taf. Aleph to Taf represents all of the Hebrew letters, and the Zion represents Malchut. And this is the fulfillment of Malchut, but in a frame of judgment, without mercy. Does anybody have any questions or comments before I start the class?
Well, I think I just want to tell Althea that, because I mentioned, I rarely understand the Zohar and the Zohar lesson that we start every lesson with, part of the Zohar. And this is not an exception. I don't understand it. But I haven't read this Torah portion yet for Saturday, so that might help a little bit.
But even so, the Zohar is never easy to understand. It took me 3 years of scanning before I had any sense of what the Zohar was saying.
It's okay.
The reason I start the classes with the Anabakoach, that's the energy of creation. The name that the Anabakoach represents, the letters that I mentioned as I read each verse and then I say the six letters, those letters are the name of God that was used to create the world and the worlds, all of the universes. Then I read the Zohar, which brings the energy of holiness. And that really is a subject that takes too long to discuss right now. But if you really ask yourself to define holiness, you'll find that it's very difficult. But holiness is an energy that we all try and manifest in our life. Any other questions, Harriet? You said you were going to be prepared with some questions today.
Yeah, I do. And the questions are based on, I listened to the class on the four phases, the first class, which covered the first and the second phase. And primarily my question is, I understand that first there was light, and light is everything, and light is all that there is. I mean, everything is light. And the consciousness, light wanted to share. So it asked, the vessel is created somehow, and it asks the vessel, can I fill you with light? And only until the vessel says yes, the vessel has to give permission, can the light come in. And then the consciousness of the vessel then changes, because now the vessel takes on that consciousness of light, and the vessel itself wants to share, because light wants to share. Okay, so that was my understanding of the first class. So my question is that, and I understand that the vessel never, the light never disappears. It's always there still, even though some of it's in the vessel, and the vessel is full, and now the vessel is complete, and it wants to share. My question is, each of us, we're taught, is a vessel. We're created as the vessel to receive light and to receive, and we have a desire to receive that light. And we've been learning that we're very egotistical and that we always desire to receive for ourselves alone. But sharing is a very difficult thing. And so my question is, if I receive light and the essence of light is to share, why am I only always sharing? If the essence of sharing, and I take on that essence because I'm a vessel and I've received light, why do I want things for myself alone and not want things to share with others?
It's an excellent question, and it will take a while to answer. And Althea, to give you some background, in the second class, we discuss why we were created, why the physical world was created, and why we, each individual, was created. And
this, I did talk about this part, in case you can cover it if you want.
Okay.
But
We
go ahead. I just wanted to do that.
No problem. The four phases is a description of the tree of life, which you may have seen, that glyph with the 10 circles and the lines.
The Sephiroth and the
letters. But we are explaining it in a different way than other paths of Kabbalah follow it.
Like the Klippian?
Say again?
The Klippian? Where it's like reversed, is that a different path? Never mind.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. The tree of life can also be a tree of knowledge, good and evil. The tree of life can also be a tree of death. These are all different understandings, different metaphors dealing with the process of how God takes his unlimited and infinite power and comes into the physical world, lowers himself to be in the physical world. And one of our jobs as human beings is to prepare the physical world to receive his beneficence, to receive his light, which gets to the first part of the question that Harriet asked, that I need to clarify. In Kabbalah, the terms that are used are very exact. So when the Kabbalist says light, it's not everything. Light is the fulfillment. What is the fulfillment? In order for there to be a manifestation of fulfillment, there must be a desire. That's the vessel. So in the endless world, there was light and vessel in unity. But in our physical world, there's a different set of rules. The vessel was created to reveal the light, to reveal the fulfillment. But it first must express its desire for that fulfillment. When the world was created, all of the vessel was in the soul of Adam. We were all part of Adam and Eve. That desire was created through the process of the four phases. Now the desire needed to ask for the fulfillment. That's the metaphor of the eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. When Adam and Chava ate from the tree, they injected selfishness, which is the definition of evil in Kabbalah. So now let's understand the question in the context of what I've just said. The question you're asking is, why am I selfish?
Yeah.
Why do I want to share Why should I share is really the question that you're asking. The
saying, why do I feel like I want to share, but how can I be selfish?
The question is, when an action is done, it's composed just like we are of a body and a soul. So I do an action. The action is the body. But what is the soul of that body? The soul is what we are thinking at the moment. What is our consciousness? So if I share with someone, as I know Harriet goes to share with someone to help them learn to read. So when she's going to that meeting, and when she's in that meeting, her consciousness, her action is one of sharing. But we don't really know what her consciousness is. Her consciousness might be that she goes to that meeting and goes through that process because she likes the pleasure she gets from doing it. It might be that she goes because she wants people to think she's a righteous person. She's really a good person, and she wants people to be aware of that. And that's why she does it. Both of those reasons I just gave are selfish-oriented reasons. Hashem, who is ultimately the light, has none of those selfish attitudes. Hashem is totally sharing without an expectation of receiving in return. He just shares. We are created as a desire to receive. In spirituality, when we have a different consciousness, we are then a different vessel. So to answer your question,
can you say that again?
Sharing. It's because you, as a vessel, as the second phase, is causing the light to come in and be veiled by your desire to share, because there's no desire in the Creator. He's just sharing. But if a vessel is sharing, the vessel is not the light. It's going to veil. It's going to be less than what the light was in the first phase. The metaphor that I used in the class of the first class, in the first class, was the light fulfills the vessel after asking permission. The vessel says, yes, come on in. It's no effort for me, so there's no real desire here. But the vessel is totally fulfilled. Everything that it could ever want happens. Before it even knows that it wants, it's receiving. And then because it takes on the attribute of the light, which is to share, it becomes a second consciousness. And it takes on the attribute, I want to share. I want to share is a different consciousness than sharing. There's an I there. There's an ego there. And since the ego is not the light, it veils the light. It minimizes the light. We are not capable in our life of removing a desire for the energy of food. We are not capable of removing the desire for the energy of sex. We are not capable of removing what is spoken of as 32 sparks of desire. But there are sparks of desire that we can remove. We can choose to eat only because it gives the Creator pleasure, not because I want the energy. That's the transformation that we are striving to attain in this world. That transformation from I'm eating for myself or I'm eating to give the Creator pleasure, that change brings me closer to the Creator. These are the metaphors that the Kabbalists use for us to understand this process. So we want to share to get closer to the Creator, to have more of His attribute. His attribute is sharing. So we mimic His sharing. This is the process, and I hope I have answered your question.
Well, if the vessel has once it's filled with light, takes on the attribute of light, which is sharing.
Not immediately. It's not a process. Even that's a process. In phase one, there's a knock at the door. The vessel says, "Who's there?" And Hashem answers, "I am. I want to come in and share with you. I want to fulfill you." And the vessel says, "I'll open the door, come on in." I use the metaphor of the light being the electricity in your home. Now you can put a 100-watt bulb or a 250-watt bulb in the light. The electricity is the same for both bulbs. How does the bulb know, or how does the electricity know to only give the bulb 100 watts of power or 250 watts of power? Or if it was a 10-watt bulb, a 10 watts of power. There is a conversation that takes place between the electricity and the light bulb. The electricity says, "How much do you want?" The light bulb says, "I have a 250 watt capacity. Give me that much." And the light says, "Okay, here's 250. Now, how is that conversation taking place? Just as I've described it in words, it takes place in mathematics through the electrical formula, where the resistor causes the amount of electricity to come in. But it's still the same metaphor, whether it's words or the mathematical formula. This is how the system works. There is always a conversation between the light and the vessel, where the light says, "How much do you want?" and the vessel answers.
Okay, so we've had other classes about how to grow our vessel.
Correct.
So as we expand our consciousness through righteousness and all other ways, we can grow our vessel. So each time we're saying, okay, I'm ready now for more light because I have grown my vessel. No, but the light comes in as you grow your vessel. Isn't it just automatically there? I mean, don't you consciously expand your vessel when you're expanding your own consciousness? This is what I'm trying to say.
Remember the second class, the basic class. Remember there was something called bread of shame. Remember there was a consume that caused the light to withdraw within itself. So the light is here. The light is always here. But from our perspective, we cannot sense it. We don't know it's here. The light is always there, but it's acting in concealment. And when it acts in concealment, it's not the same as acting in revelation, when it can be sensed, when it can be seen. So in phase one, the light was invited in by the vessel. There's no desire in phase one because there's no effort on the part of the vessel. You want to come in light? You want me to reveal you? No problem. I will reveal you. Now a process takes place just like the metaphor of a coffee cup with hot coffee. Over 10 minutes, the coffee cup changes its temperature. It becomes warm. It becomes hot. It takes on the attribute of the coffee. In phase one, the vessel takes on the attribute of the fulfillment, which is to share. But it's not sharing just to share. It's not sharing altruistically. It can't, because it's a desire to receive. So it takes on the consciousness of, I want to share. Now, the light, the essence of the light, is constant expansion. The essence of the light is constant sharing. I want to share more. I can't say I want to share more when I'm talking about the light, but I don't have any other words to describe it in English. The light takes on the attribute. It shares. And it wants to share more. But it will only give the vessel what it's willing to accept. Because otherwise, there's coercion. And there's a spiritual law. There's no coercion in spirituality. So the light can only share what the vessel is willing to reveal. But the light wants the vessel to reveal more. The light wants the vessel to grow. And so the vessel, through its various techniques that we've talked about in other classes, expands, wants more, grows its desire to receive. And yes, the light is always there, but unless that consciousness takes place, that conversation takes place, light, I want more than you gave me yesterday. I've grown a bit, give me more. Unless that conversation takes place, the light cannot come in. It can only come in to the level it was yesterday. And guess what? If you built your vessel and the light comes into the level of yesterday, you feel a lack. That's why when you buy a new car, it has that new car smell. And a week later, it's the same old thing. That's why when you take a bite of steak, if steak is something you like, or a good vegetable dinner, if that's what your eating habits are, and that first bite is wonderful, it sends you into heaven. But how come the second bite doesn't taste as good? Because the vessel has expanded through the appreciation of that first bite. But the light didn't have a conversation, give me more. So the vessel feels a lack. It's bigger than the amount of the fulfillment. This is the idea and the conflict between light and vessel. It's not really a conflict, but we always speak of binding and binding by striking. Why do I have to hit in order to bind something together? This is the paradox. This is the paradox of the Tsimsum. How can the light withdraw into itself? How can the light not be somewhere? And yet from our perspective, the light is not here. The light is concealed. And in that emptiness, in spirituality, there cannot be emptiness. And so what comes in is the negative side. The Satan was given the job to fulfill what appears to be empty. This is the nature of phase two. In phase one, there's a conversation, but in phase two, it's the consciousness and the initiation of the vessel. I want to share. And guess what happens? All of a sudden, there's a vessel called Zerunpin, phase three, the Vav of the Tetragrammaton. That vessel and the second phase and the third phase duplicate the relationship between the first phase and the light. The vessel in the third phase says, I want what the vessel has to share. I don't want what the light has. I don't want everything. I just want what the vessel has. Because the vessel is limited. It's not the light. Phase three says, give me what you have to share. Phase two is saying, how much do you want? Phase three is saying, whatever you have to share is what I want. There's no true desire even in phase three. Because it doesn't know that there's more. It says, give me what you have. Because that's the way it was created. And so the same conversation that takes place between the light and phase one takes place between phase two and phase three. What does phase three receive? What the light has to share. What does the light have to share? What does phase two have to share? It has the light of Chokhmah. It has the light of phase one veiled by the consciousness of the vessel. And that's what phase three receives. It doesn't receive everything. It receives the fulfillment veiled. It receives something less. In phase three, there's a process of six. Zerunpin goes from Chesed to Yesod, and actually to Malchut, but we'll talk about Malchut as phase four. This process of going down from Chesed through Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, as it transforms down, it also recognizes that I have a lack. Phase three says, okay, give me what you vessel have to share. And as this process takes place, phase three wakes up and says, wait a second. I had everything. I had the light of God. I had Hashem. Everything was there. There was no lack, and everything I wanted was there. I didn't have to go through the process to get to $1 million. I didn't have to go to 900,000 first. There was just $1 million there. Everything was there. Excuse me. There was no lack. Now I'm in a situation where I have $1 million and it's been transformed down to $1. And I still want the $1 million. Wait a second. There's something wrong here. I had it all. And I no longer have it all. I've lost it. Because the vessel is veiled what the light is capable of. And the third phase says, I want it back. And that third phase becomes the fourth phase when it says, I want it back. I yearn that I return to this level. I want to be in phase one. I had it. I lost it. Now give it back to me. It's not a quiet giving. It's not come in and fulfill me. It's demanding. I want what I want, and I want it now. Does it sound like our generation?
Yeah.
We want it all, and we don't want to wait. We don't want to go through the process. this is phase four. I want it now, and I don't want to wait. This process of the four phases, knock, knock, who's there? Come on in. Taking on the attribute of the light, I want to share, phase two. I want what the vessel has to share, phase three. And the recognition that I no longer have it all, and I want it back, phase four. This process is the creative process. There can be no other way of creation. There can be no extra step. There can be no step that is lessened. These four phases includes the whole process. And everything in our life follows that same pattern over and over. That's what we'll talk of more next week when we review the classes again. Right now, we're just talking about the relationship between phase two and phase three. Why doesn't phase three want everything? Because it wasn't created by the light. The light had a thought, I want to be revealed. That thought created the receptacle to reveal it. Because something spiritual cannot be sensed outside of itself. But now it creates a vessel that's outside of it, and that vessel has the capability of sensing it, so a conversation can take place. The same thing happens in phase two. The vessel says, I want to share, and that creates another consciousness that says, I want what you have to share. Well, isn't that like desire? No, it's the same as in phase one. Come on in. There's no effort here. I want what you have to share. That's the way I was created. That's what I want. There's no true desire on the part of the vessel. That has to be when the vessel realizes, I lost it. Everything you truly desire, you must lose. That's how you know that you desire it. That's how you build your desire. That's how you want more. By losing it. By having less than the fulfillment. A coffee urn that will fill 10 cups of coffee, but I only put enough water and coffee in to make 5 cups of coffee. Is it fulfilled?
No.
Not completely, but it's fulfilled partially. It still has coffee. It's still warm. The only difference is capacity. Well, shouldn't I be satisfied with 5 cups to serve my 5 friends? I don't need a 6th one. Oh, but somebody wants a 2nd cup. I had 10, but I lost it. The consciousness of the coffee cup, the consciousness of the coffee urn, is to share and provide service to the people. Where did it get that consciousness? From the guy who built it, the manufacturer who made it. What consciousness did he put into it? Oh, I want a profit. I'm only doing this to make money. Does the coffee urn have true sharing or a mixture? It wants to share, but it also wants to provide a profit to the manufacturer. All of a sudden, I have mixed consciousness. It's not straight. It's not pure. This is our world. We have mixed consciousness all the time. That third phase, I want what you have to share. The coffee urn can share 10 cups. The coffee urn can share a profit to the manufacturer. Guess what? The third phase bought the coffee cup, the coffee urn. Guess what? It fulfilled the manufacturer and gave him a profit, and it fulfilled itself because it got what the second phase, the coffee urn, could share. Wait a second. I used to have $20 in my pocket. Now I only have the $2 that I got back in change. I paid $18 for the urn. I got something less. I don't have it all anymore. Sound like our world?
No, well,
my generation, yeah.
Yeah, my generation too.
Brat.
But it's hard to follow that metaphor because I had $20 in my pocket. I wanted to buy the coffee pot so I could make coffee for my 10 friends. So I may only have $2 in change, but I also have the coffee pot.
Because the $20 by itself can't do anything until it's put into use.
Uh-huh. Until I...
In this case, there's more value.
Harriet, let me tell you a story.
I'm very literal.
My 10-year-old daughter, my eldest daughter, has great difficulty with mathematics. I sent her into the store, and this is a true story. I sent her into the store with a $10 bill, and I told her to get something for $5. And she bought it and came out with a very puzzled look on her face. And I said, what's confusing you? She said, I went in with one bill, and I came out with five. He gave me five single dollars in change. I went in with one thing and I came out with six things. I came out with $5 bills and what I bought. This doesn't seem like a fair exchange. That's what you're expressing. There's a desire for $20. There's a desire to share coffee with your friends. If there wasn't a desire for $20, you wouldn't have $20 in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So the third phase has these two desires that are mixed. The confusion comes because we're always talking about what's the desire, a single desire. But in our world, we mix these things. There's two desires there, one for a $20 bill and one for five cups of coffee. But they're really the same desire to share, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That's the idea that we have to try and get across and deal with all the time. I want to share. Why do I want to share? In a capitalist society, I want to share because I want more back. I don't want to share unless I get more back. That's the consciousness of a capitalist. And there's nothing wrong with that consciousness. But it's not the consciousness that's going to let you keep what you receive. Do you want the new car smell every time you get in the car? 10 years later, you still get into the new car smell? You have to keep fulfilling. You have to keep having the consciousness. You have to keep having the conversation. I want the new car. Hashem, give me the new car. Don't give me the old car. Don't give me the lack of the new car smell. I want it all. That desire to receive has to be maintained. When we say, what a wonderful day, we're saying in the conversation mode, thank you, God, I have enough. God says, you have enough? I'll go someplace else. I'll share where there's a desire. This is the consciousness we have to constantly strive to maintain. That constant communication between the light and the vessel. That's the only way the new car always smells like it's a new car. That's the only way with the vessel constantly is growing. This is the idea of understanding the phase two to phase three. What do you want? Are you in phase three? Do you want what the vessel wants? Or do you want it all?
You want it all.
You say you do, but are you willing to do it all to get it all?
Well, I don't know. Because that all is a very big word.
Yes,
do it all.
All is a very big word. All means I have to be willing to receive it all. I have to be willing to do what I have to do to receive it all. I have to be willing to change myself. If I'm willing to change myself and I make the change, I built the vessel, I will receive it all. That's the consciousness of mind over matter. But for most people, I want it all, but not willing to change. And the universe, the agreement that the vessel made with the light when it was uncomfortable with the bread of shame was, I don't want anything. I don't like that the more I receive, the more I'm upset. The more my stomach hurts. The more I eat, the worse it feels. That's bread of shame. I don't like that. And the vessel, the light said, okay, here's a world where you can share with other people. Not for yourself alone. You have to change in order to keep it. Otherwise, you're going to get it, you're going to touch it and taste it, and then it's going to go away. And that's why the new car smell leaves, because you don't maintain the consciousness of communicating with the Creator, give me that new car smell each day. Phase three wants what the vessel can share. It doesn't want it all. It knows that it's there, but in the back of its mind, it doesn't really want it all. It doesn't want to be everything. It doesn't want to have everything. And that's why Zeir Anpin is called darkness. That's why when we look out into space, there's the suns and the stars, but there's only light where there's reflection. The rest of outer space looks dark. Why? Because the only way you reveal light is through binding by striking, through reflection. You can take a solar water heater and put it out in the sun, and that water heater will not change 1 degree. But you put a mirror underneath it to reflect back on the water chamber, And that mirror reflecting back is what powers the water heater. It's the only way energy can be shared. The conversation is, I want to be revealed. Will you reveal me? The vessel says, yes, I'll reveal you. Or the vessel says, I had that and I lost it. I want it back. Give it back to me. That's true desire. And that is only coming from the consciousness of I want it all, and I'm willing to be changed to have it all. But most of us just want it all in thought, not willing to do the actions. Any questions?
No, but I'm sure I'll have more if I think about this more. I'll have questions.
Understood. I'll look forward to your email.
Okay. Is your basic class starting again? Has that been set up yet? A new set of basic?
I have two basic classes starting. One is okay. On Sunday, this past Sunday, but it was canceled because the person who has the UVU on his computer, he had a crash. So it's next week it'll happen again.
Okay.
And that's Sunday at 5 p.m. your time.
Sunday at 5.
And then there's one this Wednesday that is at 5 p.m. your time also, that I have no physical location for it, so it's probably going to be canceled, although there are some people who want to take it besides yourself. So it won't necessarily be an UVU call, but it will be on the conference call.
And okay.
It will take place Wednesday night, and I'm just not sure who will show up. There will be no people from Waco, to my knowledge, but there will be people from other locations.
Okay. I took I took the basic course, which is, 10 weeks or 12 weeks, and I need to take it again. You know, it's the kind of thing that I want to take because I keep forgetting things that we refer to in more advanced classes. It's a lot of information. So I'm going to start with the basic again. And it's hard because sometimes Sunday at noon I'll be at 5 o'clock, I'll be available, sometimes I won't. So I'll be switching, listening to both of them.
I do send the recordings of every class.
I've been getting recordings of every class, right.
I do send them out to those people who are interested in receiving them.
And that's the second best way for me for taking it because
right.
Because you can't ask the question as you have it. Okay. All right.
Although you can record the questions and send it by email.
Yeah.
So you don't get immediate gratification, which is probably a way of building the vessel.
Right. Okay. All right.
So from our perspective, it appears to be not the best way, but in actuality, it is. A lot of times what people have, they'll ask a question, and then they'll actually determine the answer for themselves by the time they get the answer back from me.
I was just going to say that. I've done that so many times where I'll email somebody a question, and while I'm waiting for the answer, I'm meditating or thinking on it, and I get the answer that is best suited.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so.
Right. That's great catch. Okay. Do you have any other questions, Althea?
Well, before, on my way over here, I was watching some videos so I can kind of get an understanding of what the four phases were. because it said advanced class, and I didn't want to come in here not having any kind of idea. So I did watch, you know, some basic videos, and so following along what you're saying wasn't too difficult, but really grasping it within, you know, I think that takes time. But
it's called a lifetime study.
Well, see, the reason I'm here and the reason why I've kind of chosen to walk down a certain path, I guess, is because I want to help people, but I have to understand what that means. Because, and so when you're talking about the different motivations, I don't want to help people so I feel better. I don't want to have that motivation at all. I want to just, and I know when you say you want to help people, like, sometimes you got to do things that you really don't want to do, and you act like a baby about it, and it's hard. So
yes.
Going through these phases, will that eradicate the selfish motivations? I don't want to do what I want to do for myself. There's no point.
You are correct. There is no point, because when you do for yourself, you don't get to keep it. The only way you get to keep it is when you do in order to share.
And perhaps because...
We live in a frame of reference that was created with the eating of the fruit of knowledge, good and evil. That frame is our physical world. It wasn't supposed to be like that. Had Adam and Chava said no, we're not going to eat it, then the Mashiach would have been manifested, and none of the rest of us would have come into the world, because we all would have been corrected by that action of Adam saying no, because we were all there with Adam. But Adam didn't say no, he said yes, he ate it. And then he made it worse because he didn't accept his responsibility for it. He blamed Eve. And they're each individual. Eve made a mistake, Adam made a mistake, the snake made a mistake, and even the earth made a mistake. And Adam, Chava, the snake received 10 different curses each. The earth received 9. All of this is metaphor to help you understand. The answer is no, you're never going to be able to get away until the Messiah comes. You will never be able to get away from this concept, I'm doing it for myself. But you have the ability to transform that into more sharing than receiving for yourself. You have the ability to transform the desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. The closer you get to 100% sharing, the more that you get to keep of what you are receiving.
But again, the consciousness is not to share in order to be able to keep, because that would be selfish.
Correct. But we were created as a desire to receive. We can't get away from that. And it seems like it's a paradox. Ultimately, it's not just a paradox. It's the way we grow our vessel. But it takes a while to understand that. And that's why we talk about binding by striking being a lifetime learning, and why Kabbalah is a lifetime learning, and why Torah study is continuous and forever a lifetime path. The answer to your question is no. You will always have some aspect of selfishness, but you can have a greater amount of sharing and a lesser amount of selfishness. That's what can be achieved, and that's what the tools of Kabbalah allow us to do.
Okay.
One other question or comment for Althea. Feel free to call me. I can give you my phone number again, or yeah, I know you got it on the email, but you may not have kept it. So if you want to write it down, or you can send me an email. I am available.
Okay.
As a teacher of Kabbalah, I am available to help people in all the phases of their life. My phone number is 818-613-3457. Feel free to call me anytime except Shabbat, and I'll accept a call on Shabbat if it's an emergency.
How do I spell your name again?
C-H. Go ahead, Ariet.
A-N-O-C-H.
Okay. And that would be Saturday.
Friday night.
To sundown.
Okay.
Sundown to Friday night.
If it's an emergency, life-threatening emergency, I'll take the call. But other than that,
I can email,
You can email anytime, and I'll respond as soon as I can.
If I do call you, it's probably an error on my fault. Forgetting.
Okay.
Well, but I'll do my best. I put note on your, under your contact information.
Okay. Well, just for the record, just for the record, I do have a very strong connection. So when I look at the, when I hear the phone ringing, I will know whether it's an emergency or not, and they'll either choose to answer or not.
Okay.
One other point is I do not charge for the classes. I do ask for donations, primarily because there's a spiritual law that energy needs to be exchanged for energy. So Harriet will ask, and she'll send the money, or you can make arrangements to send money directly to me from PayPal. No person is turned away because they are either unwilling or unable to make a donation. But understand that it's important that energy be exchanged for energy. And this knowledge is energy. So, any other questions or comments before I wish you shalom?
Thank you for the class, Anna.
Thank you.
Is there a book I should?
Yes. Athea just asked if there's a book that she should. I've got so many books that I could loan you any of them. What would be a good book?
Well, which one do you have that you would recommend, Harriet? The Power of.
Well, I've read only because you came in when you said you read something about quantum physics. Michael Berg or Yehuda Berg, I forget which, wrote a book I have, Miracles, but he talks an awful lot. If you're interested in how Kabbalah describes creation and goes into quantum physics and a whole bit of how Kabbalah thousands of years ago already had all the answers. I mean, it's not so much this everyday kind of thing, but it really sort of, I don't know if that's the kind of thing you're interested in.
Well, I want to learn about Kabbalah, but I'm also looking to kind of gain understanding of the connection with the physical, the different levels, you know, the physical and then the spiritual. How are they intertwined? How do they work together? How do they work apart?
Starting a week from Monday, a week from tonight at 7:30 p.m., West Coast time, I will be teaching a class called Torah and Science.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to.
And that is essentially where we will start with what science is teaching and how Torah knew this back when, at the beginning, when Adam was given it and when the Torah was given to Moses. We will discuss all of that. And just to give you one example, it wasn't until the 1950s that the Big Bang Theory was accepted. It was promulgated in the 1920s, but science didn't accept it until they found the background cosmic radiation. And it was at that point that they accepted the Big Bang. They still have questions about it because it's still called a theory. But the Torah starts the first verse. And it says, in a beginning, God created heaven and earth. Or the heavens and the earth. Prior to the Big Bang Theory in the 20s, there was the theory that was accepted in science was the steady state theory, that the universe always existed. There was no creation, it was always there. We don't understand how it could always be there, but it was. That was the theory that science promulgated. And it was after the Big Bang Theory that it came into science that there was a creation, there was a beginning point, which is what the first verse in the Torah teaches us. That's just one example of the kinds of things I'll be talking about in that series of classes. So you're more than welcome to join it, either through UVU on your, if you want to download that on your own computer, or through a telephone conferencing call, which you need to
get. Can you use iPhone?
I'm sorry?
You could use your iPhone. I think UVU's on iPhone, right?
Yes, it's on iPhone.
You can just download
uvu.com.
Okay. And
Harriet can help you with a lot of the things that she's picked up and the telephone conference call, because there are some classes that are not on UVU. A few of them, but some. Most of them are on UVU if you like that.
Okay.
You know, most people find it easier to read my facial expressions, even though the beard hides it all.
I only have one more question for now. I'm looking at the tree here, Kether, just with the different names, and I've been looking at ritual magic and doing certain rituals, and it's funny. I mean, I've been looking at this and studying this and these names and using them, but what do you think about ritual magic, or is there a connection? I've heard that there is a connection with Kabbalah to an extent when doing ritual magic.
Well, I'm not sure which form of ritual magic you're dealing with. And I will just tell you that there's a procedure here of the recommendations in the mitzvot are that we need to purify ourselves, purify our desire to receive for oneself alone, so it becomes more of a desire to receive in order to share. That's the purpose of the mitzvot. Now, what that means is the systems work for the negative side and the positive side. They're all the same. The only thing that changes is your consciousness. And your consciousness is changed through Torah study. In the mitzvot, it says, do not do witchcraft, do not do a whole list of different types of magical things. What that really is saying is it's okay to study them, but do not do them. When you do them, you invite connection to entities that do not have your best interest at heart. You have been given a life force energy, which we call nefesh, which the Chinese call qi or ki, which the white witches have their name for it. The black witches have another name for it. All of the magical systems have their own name for life force energy. That life force energy is a medium of exchange between spiritual entities. When you do magical ritual, you invite an interchange, an acceptance, a connection to an entity that is trying to steal your life force energy. And one of the ways they do that is to expand your life force energy and give you the illusion that you're doing better while they're stealing it.
I've heard that.
It's good to study it. It's not good to do it. It's good to study Kabbalah, and when you're ready, it will be good to do the rituals associated with it, because you'll understand why you do it.
Okay.
And one of the things that Rabbi Ashlag teaches, one of our teachers, one of my teachers, and by converse, one of your teachers at this point. One of his teachings is, do not look at the glyphs. Do not look at the Tree of Life diagrams, because they limit your understanding of what those diagrams actually are. They're much more than is represented on a piece of paper, a two-dimensional picture. The Tree of Life is multidimensional, and multi has no limit. And you don't visualize that. You can't understand it when you're looking at a two-dimensional picture. And that's not to say I've never met anyone who's never been exposed to it. And some people find it beneficial to look at it, they think, because they have an understanding of what it's saying. But they limit themselves when they look at the two-dimensional picture. Study, but don't do. But you have free choice. One thing I will suggest to you, the reason that you asked the question was to receive an answer. Because we all know never to ask a question we don't want to know the answer to. Was that too harsh for you, or is it okay?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Any other questions?
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful week. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom. Shalom.